Welcome to the College Admissions Process Podcast presented by Prep Expert. Prep Expert offers live online SAT and ACT courses with the best score guarantees, instructors, and curriculum. Go to prepexpert.com to guarantee your child's success. Welcome to The Cap, where we are here to speak with college reps and other professionals in the field of college admissions to help answer all your questions and guide you through every step of the process. So if you're serious about college admissions, you've come to the right place. Are you ready? Let's talk about it. And now, here's your host, Dr. John Durante. Welcome to The Cap, the College Admissions Process Podcast. I am your host, John Durante, and I am here to introduce you to college admissions representatives and other professionals in the field of college admissions. Our purpose is to serve you, the students and parents, so that you may gain insight straight from the people who ultimately make the decisions. Regardless of whether you apply to a particular school being highlighted in a given episode, you should listen to all of them, as each guest will give you tremendous insight and advice on every aspect of the college admissions process, prompting you to come up with your own follow-up questions for when you visit campus or meet with a college admissions representative yourself. Don't forget to visit our website, www.collegeadmissionstalk.com, or the show notes of each episode to access the alphabetical list of all the colleges available with the related audio link to the right of each school. The alphabetical list provides you with on-demand access to all of the episodes so that you may listen whenever you wish. And if you want to receive links to episodes before they are released on the podcast, along with other related resources, please fill out the email opt-in form also available on our website and in the show notes of each episode. Lastly, please email me with any questions or comments at collegeadmissionstalk@gmail.com. So are you ready? Let's talk about it. Welcome to The Cap, the College Admissions Process Podcast. I am your host, John Durante, and it gives me great pleasure to welcome Melissa Furlong, who's the Executive Director of Admissions and Enrollment Development at Cal Poly in California. Melissa, thank you so much for being here today. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you, John. Thank you so much for having me here today. I really appreciate the opportunity to talk a little bit about Cal Poly and preparing for college.
Well, I'm excited about this one. It's been a few months that I've been trying to get Cal Poly on, and luckily I reached out to you, Melissa, and here we are. So again, truly looking forward to this and welcome. So why don't you start by giving us a brief introduction about yourself, Melissa, and how did you end up in such a position, of course, in admissions?
I actually happen to be a two-time alum of Cal Poly. I earned my undergraduate degree in psychology and my graduate degree in education with an emphasis in counseling. And while in grad school, I had an opportunity to do an internship with at-risk youth, foster youth, and that role really made me want to help to provide some tangible pathways for young people to follow their dreams. And so shortly after that internship, I was able to have a graduate assistantship in college outreach. And that really began my 23-year journey in higher education.
Wow.
In this assistantship, I was able to help build partnerships with schools and organizations that primarily worked with first-generation and historically underserved communities. And I had some incredible mentors along the way that encouraged me to consider a role in admissions. And so an admissions officer position opened up at Cal Poly. I landed that job. I was able to start traveling. I went to college fairs, did school visits, and really shared information with prospective students about preparing for college. And long story short, I was able to move up, and I am now in my current role as the Executive Director of Admissions and Enrollment Development.
Well, that's terrific. And thank you so much for giving us the history. You talked about starting a career where you were trying to help students follow their dreams. And certainly as the Executive Director of Admissions and Enrollment Development at Cal Poly, that's certainly something that you continue to do. So again, we appreciate that, Melissa. And so can you provide us with an overview of Cal Poly's academic programs and what makes them unique compared to other colleges and universities?
Yeah, absolutely. So Cal Poly is really known for its learn by doing philosophy. And we've got 6 academic colleges on our campus. We've got our College of Agriculture, Food and Environmental Sciences, College of Architecture and Environmental Design, our Orfila College of Business, the College of Engineering, the College of Liberal Arts, and our Bailey College of Science and Math. And so within those 6 academic colleges, we've got about 64 different undergraduate majors to choose from. And our students really put knowledge into action. They take their learning outside of the classroom as they prepare for careers in engineering, agriculture, science, business, humanities, and the built environment. You know, Cal Poly's hands-on, that practical approach. Our small class sizes, our average class size is about 35. Our student to faculty ratio is about 19-1. So that really results in our graduates being ready day one to impact their communities.
Well, we appreciate the fact that you're talking about your mission, which is have the students learn by doing. You talk about your 6 academic colleges, just to name a few: business, engineering, liberal arts, and of course, science and math. We know that Cal Poly is heavy on STEM, and you offer 64 undergraduate majors, which is absolutely terrific. So what types of extracurricular activities, clubs, and organizations can students get involved in once at Cal Poly?
Yeah, that's a great question. So Cal Poly is a very active student body. We've got over 400 recognized student organizations that keep students connected and involved with our campus and then also with our fellow community members. Clubs and organizations at Cal Poly provide quite a bit of opportunity to incorporate instruction, scholarship, and service in that learn by doing environment. So our students, our staff, our faculty partner to apply theory to practice by competing in national competitions, addressing global issues, and serving the community at large. The clubs and organizations' hands-on approach develops leadership skills, enhances social growth, and complements the academic curriculum. So we have clubs that are based on students' interests, like our salsa, our line dancing club, our esports clubs. We've got academically based organizations like our Marine Sciences, our Society of Women Engineers. We've got athletically based organizations like our beach volleyball team, our pickleball club. So lots of opportunities to get involved. If there isn't a club for something that you may be interested in, our students can go on out there, find other club members, and start up their own club. So again, incredibly active student body.
Well, that's a terrific overview. Over 400 student organizations, which keep the students connected. And I love that philosophy. Once again, learn by doing, applying theory to practice. And you know what? It is working. And I'll tell you why it's working, because I read recently that your retention rate, which of course is the percentage of freshmen that return for a second year, your retention rate is at an astonishing 95%, one of the highest in the country. So what's the secret to keeping everyone wanting to continue being part of that great Cal Poly community?
That's a great question. So our students start their learn by doing hands-on experiences right in their first year and have that opportunity to perform research with professors early in their time at Cal Poly. So as students continue this work, they make connections with faculty, with staff, with fellow students. Their opportunities in the future at Cal Poly continue to grow. And our university has really taken specific steps to support and retain our students. This includes an establishment of a program called Cal Poly Scholars, in which we're able to provide financial, academic, and community resources to high-achieving students from California schools who may come from low-income backgrounds. Cal Poly Scholars receive financial aid to pay for Cal Poly campus fees, a technology stipend, and then various means of support through advising, through peer mentoring, special campus services, and a residential experience that's designed to ensure personal and academic success. Additionally, all first and many of our second year students are now required to live in on-campus housing, which is shown to improve student success and academic progress. As well, our students are participating in high impact practices that include studying abroad, research, and internships. So these types of activities have really been shown to improve the academic performance of our students.
Well, I appreciate you talking about right from the beginning, there's multiple opportunities for students to engage in research. So again, you're applying that theory to practice from day one. You also talked about the fact that first and second year students, they need to live in their academic housing quarters, which is something that is done by many schools and universities to help foster that community, which I'm sure is one of the reasons why you have that high 95% retention rate, which again is absolutely terrific. So Melissa, can you tell us about support services available to students other than some of the ones that you mentioned, but what other support services do you have, such as academic advising, career services, and even mental health resources to ensure that students continue to be successful once they're on your campus?
So each of our six academic colleges has a dedicated academic advising center, and our Mustang Success Center offers advising services for all of our first-year students to help them with their transition to college courses. We have an amazing career services department, which offers resources for students to help build resumes, to prepare for professional interviews, to secure jobs and internships, and they also host several career fairs throughout the year. One of my favorite things about our career services department is that they have this amazing professional clothing closet where Cal Poly and our local communities able to donate gently used professional attire to support our students dressing for success as they prepare for career fairs and interviews. Additionally, we have an amazing campus health and well-being department. They offer health, counseling, psychological services to all of our students. Our campus also has 8 student diversity and belonging cultural centers, which serve an active role in really creating a culturally rich environment throughout campus and then within our community.
Well, it really sounds like you have something for everyone. And I appreciate how you talked about all the career help that you offer your students, because students come to college and it's really that bridge, right, from academics to whatever it is that that career is going to be. So it really does sound like you have something for everyone. And I really appreciate that, because that's a message to students and their parents. A good question to ask an admissions rep, whether you're visiting with them on campus or perhaps you're seeing them in your high school or at a college fair, is to ask about the different services that they have, whether it's academic, social, or to help you with career services. So again, Melissa, we really appreciate that. And let's get to that application process, which so many students and their parents want to hear about. Can you walk us through the typical application review process at Cal Poly, and how does it weigh different components of the application, such as GPA, standardized test scores, extracurricular activities, and even those essays?
Absolutely. I'd love to go over that admissions process with you. So Cal Poly currently accepts students during the fall term, and you must apply to us via Cal State Apply, which is the online application to all 23 California State University campuses. Typically, the applications open between October 1st and November the 30th, and there really is no difference in applying on the first day or the last day of the application period. Sometimes students are, you know, rushing to get to that application on October 1st and want to submit it at 12:01 a.m. in the morning. And really, it really doesn't make a difference. We want you to take your time, make sure that you have someone review that application before hitting that submit button. So students are going to apply to one of our 64 different undergraduate programs at Cal Poly, and they'll only compete for a space with other students that are interested in that major of study. First-year students are going to compete against first years, and transfers coming from a community college or another four-year college will compete against other transfers. So for first years, we primarily focus in on objective criteria that includes your college prep coursework, your GPA, extracurricular activities, and work experience. So we're utilizing a combination of cognitive and non-cognitive variables under our faculty-mandated multi-criteria admission process to evaluate students. We utilize the A through G college prep coursework in selection, which includes the academic areas of English, social science, math, your lab science, your language other than English, visual performing arts, and electives. So these courses should be completed by the preceding spring of your enrollment. Given that Cal Poly has more qualified applicants than spaces available for admission, we encourage students to take above the minimum course requirements and really max out on the recommendations that we list in our first year selection criteria. So for example, the minimum A through G requirement calls for 2 years of a lab science while in high school. We recommend for students to complete 4 years of a lab science while in high school. The next area we're going to take a peek at would be your GPA. How well are you doing in those A through G college prep coursework areas? And then again, we'll look at extracurricular activities and work experience. So we'll ask you questions like, how many hours per week are you participating in any kind of an extracurricular activity? Do you hold any leadership positions in those activities? How many hours per week do you work? Paid work, unpaid work? And then do you have a job that's related to your future major or your future career? So we're really taking those areas into account for our freshman selection process. Now for transfer students, it's a little different. We're going to have very specific college level coursework that is required and recommended for each of our different programs. The primary focus for our transfer students is that major related, that general education coursework, your GPA, and then once again, extracurricular activities and work experience. You just want to make sure that you have those official copies of your transcript handy when you're adding that coursework into the application so that those courses match up with that transcript. Transfer students will also have an opportunity to go back into their application in January to enter in those fall term grades, as well as their spring term schedule. We'll pretty much let all applicants know about their admission status by April 1st. And our student intent to register deadline for all of our students is May the 1st.
Well, that's a tremendous overview. By the way, I always put the Office of Undergraduate Admissions in the show notes. Melissa, if there are any links that you want to include, please send them to me. And of course, we'll make them available to the students and parents in the show notes. I love how you talked about the fact that there's one way to apply. That's the Cal State apply. You also talked about the fact that there's no benefit if you're applying at 12:01 a.m., the day that the application is open. So there's no benefit in being the first applicant. So students, take your time. Make sure you provide a comprehensive look in terms of who you are academically and, of course, as a community member. You did talk about the criteria you look at. You mentioned a lot of things, but I'll repeat. College prep coursework within high school, the GPA, the work experience. You asked that question. Did you have a job related to your future course of study? You talk about the A through G criteria, which is those academic areas that you talked about. And I like your advice. Take above and beyond the minimum requirement, as Cal Poly receives far more applications from deserving applicants than your seats available. As a quick follow-up, do you know approximately how many applications you received for how many seats that you're looking for that freshman class?
Yeah, so this year we received about 68,000 first-year applications.
Wow.
And for this year, our goal is 5,400 new students.
Wow. So again, over 60,000 applications for a little over 5,000 students in the freshman class. And I say that because a lot of times students are, you know, waitlisted or denied, and they take it personal. What did I do? Maybe it was something that I wrote or didn't write. Well, in reality, you know, that's why I asked that question, because I want the students to understand over 60,000 applications for a goal of bringing in a freshman class of just over 5,000. So we appreciate that, Melissa. And digging deeper in terms of the overall application review, do you use the student's high school GPA as indicated on their transcript, or do you recalculate it using your own metrics? And if so, what do you look at from a student's academic record? And I know you touched upon this already, but maybe let's dig a little further. And how do you evaluate that transcript?
That's a great question, John. So for the purposes of the application, we're going to consider the 9th through 11th grade weighted GPA. And that number is calculated from your A through G college prep coursework as designated on your application. The weight is granted for courses designated as honors, college level, advanced placement, or international baccalaureate for up to 8 semesters. That's why it's incredibly important that when a student is self-reporting information on the application, that they take their time and they do so properly.
So do you use this SRAR? In other words, are they self-reporting their grades on the actual application?
You got it. So students are going to self-report all of their information on the application, and we select students based upon what they're self-reporting. Once we offer admission to a student, we'll typically ask for follow-up documentation as far as transcripts to verify that everything that they put on that application matches up with those final transcripts.
Right. So in addition to not having something match up, what are some common mistakes that an applicant may make on their application, and how could those mistakes be avoided?
Yeah. So since you're applying to Cal Poly via Cal State Apply, which is the same application for all 23 Cal State campuses, a common mistake is applying to the wrong campus. So you want to make sure that you're checking the entire name of the campus that you're applying to. Our programs are listed under Cal Poly Undergraduate, or you may search for us by campus name as Cal Poly San Luis Obispo. You want to make sure that you're applying to the right campus and the right program name. Another common mistake that we see on the application involves adding coursework. There are two A through G college prep categories in which we'll go back to your middle school coursework, and that can be utilized in the application. So the math area and then your language other than English area. For example, if you happen to complete Algebra 1 while you were in eighth grade, and then you go into ninth grade to take that next sequential course of geometry, you would want to make sure that you're adding Algebra 1 onto your application. That's a pretty common mistake that sometimes students will make.
Well, it's a great point because there are students, many of them, that do take a high school course, meaning that it is on your transcript, right? So it's considered a high school course while in eighth grade. So that's a great point that hasn't come up in previous conversations. So I appreciate the caveat for students and their families to make sure that all high school courses, particularly if you have any in the eighth grade, to make sure that it's accounted for. Did you want to say something else, Melissa?
Yeah, you know, the application is fairly straightforward, and oftentimes students will complete the application without even reading the instructions. I always recommend to students read the instructions at the beginning of the application, and then also read the instructions on each page. Right. If you're not sure about how to fill out any portion of the application, if you have questions, we've got a lot of resources available on our application resources pages, such as walkthrough videos, application guides, and then also don't hesitate to give us a call, drop us a text, send us an email. Right. Our admissions team is here to help you through the process. We'll be sure to have several virtual application workshops during the application filing period to also provide additional support. So we're here for you.
Well, that's awesome. I really appreciate that you said that, that the fact that you are there for them. So students, if you have a question, particularly if it's a question not easily found on the website, call the admissions office. That's what they're there for. They are admissions counselors. They want you to be in their schools. They want to help you. So don't be shy to reach out, particularly, again, if you have a question that's not so easily found on the website in particular. So, Melissa, what are some other key factors students should consider when deciding if Cal Poly is, in fact, the right fit for them?
Students considering Cal Poly can take a look at the academic programs and services that we offer, can take a look at the resources that we've talked about today. We've got amazing websites where you can do exploration of all of these programs and services. And then going further, they can visit us on campus or online, dive deeper again into those majors and really see what our current students are doing. So visit us at calpoly.edu. It's a great place to start for anyone thinking about Cal Poly.
Fantastic. We appreciate that. And this has been an awesome conversation. I really appreciate it, Melissa. Before I get to that last question, I have to ask you, is there a question that I simply didn't ask or a topic that I didn't bring up that you'd like to share with us now?
Yeah, actually, you know, we haven't talked about where we're located. San Luis Obispo is a smaller town. We're about halfway between San Francisco and LA, right on the coast of California. We're a beautiful college town,
beautiful
town surrounded by mountains, the ocean. San Luis Obispo proper, the city of San Luis Obispo, has about 48,000 people. Our campus has about 22,000 people. It's an incredible college town environment to be a part of. If you like the outdoors, we have some of the most beautiful hikes and walks all throughout San Luis Obispo and our surrounding communities. We've got some amazing beaches. To the north, we have Morro Bay and Cayucas. About 8 miles to the south, we have Avila Beach, Pismo Beach. So lots of places for you to explore in our local community.
Definitely an amazing location. I was just there about a year ago and I'm coming back. this coming fall, and I really cannot wait because California is absolutely one of my favorite places, not only in the United States, but the world. So again, Melissa, this has been an awesome conversation. Unfortunately, it does lead us to that last question, which is, what are your top three pieces of advice that you would provide students and their parents getting ready for the college admissions process?
Right. So I know that preparing for college admission can be exciting, but it also can be so incredibly stressful on students and supporters. Number one, I think I would try to focus in on college fit. You know, what are your long-term career aspirations? Do these colleges have the major that's going to be the best pathway to accomplish my long-term goals? Think about location, think about size, think about extracurricular activities and support services. What type of learning environment is going to be the best fit for me? Number two, I would say stay organized. You've really got to pay attention to all of those requirements and deadlines for the colleges and universities that you're applying to. Consider developing a timeline of all of those important dates with checklists so that you're remaining on top of the process. And then lastly, I know that I've mentioned this before, but if at all possible, take that campus visit. The campus visit really helps to give you a feel as to whether or not that environment is going to align with your interests and your needs. So if you're not able to visit a campus in person, take some of those virtual tours or utilize social media pages, as they can oftentimes be super helpful in your college search process.
Well, those are great pieces of advice for both the students and their families. Obviously, Melissa, Cal Poly is so lucky to have you, as were we on this podcast episode. I am going to ask you to come back again in the future for a follow-up episode, but today was awesome. Thank you so much, Melissa.
Thank you, John. Really appreciated the opportunity to be here. And thank you for all of your amazing work in getting the word out about college admissions.
Thank you so much. I'm having a great time meeting terrific people like yourself and so many others. So, you know, one last thing to say, thank you everyone for listening and good luck with your college search. Take care all and best wishes.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of The CAP, the College Admissions Process Podcast. We hope you enjoyed the show. If you did, please don't forget to tell a friend. And follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and wherever you listen to your podcasts. I am your host, John Durante, and I look forward to seeing you on the next episode of The CAP.
Hey, podcast friends, if you've been enjoying the College Admissions Process Podcast, I'm excited to share my new book, Straight from the Admissions Office, Insider Strategies for College Applications. It's packed with insights and tips from over 250 podcast episodes with admissions professionals designed to make the college process less overwhelming. Whether you're a student, parent, or college counselor, it's a valuable resource for navigating the admissions process. By grabbing a copy, you're also helping to support the podcast. The links are in the show notes. Thank you and best wishes to all with the college admissions process.